And we're back, and we're back here with Representative Bob Janetsky. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Duke. It's great to be back on Talk of the Town.
It's always good to have you here, and what are we going to talk about today? We got a lot of things going on in Lansing.
Yeah, busy couple of weeks in Lansing. You know, we had a big package of bills passed yesterday. Pretty excited about this package. This is a group that would put in statute basically mental health courts across the state so that there's a framework for counties to establish a mental health court. Understand that since the 90s, Duke, when the state mental hospitals were all shut down, an awful lot of those people, unfortunately, very unfortunately, found their way into the correction system, and we just don't have a proper manner for dealing with those who are mentally ill that really technically probably aren't criminals but need some help in dealing with some of their challenges so that they don't end up in prison. Nobody wants that anywhere. So it's a good package of bills, sets up the framework. It's already being piloted in several different counties, and they're seeing some positive results. And it would give judges leeway to do things like, you know, recommend counseling and make sure that people are taking their meds and things like that. And with the ultimate goal of keeping people who don't belong in state prisons.
Rather timely, isn't it?
It is. It's very timely. I'll tell you, with all that's going on around the U.S. and some concerns for some of the people who have been caught up in shootings and things like that. Very timely. And I hope that we set a good framework and that this will be that one thing that really does an awful lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some similar court situations like this. We've set up some veterans courts statewide that have really seen some positives as far as some of our veterans who have come back from combat are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and then, you know, ended up through one means or another in the judiciary system. You know, that's not the right place for them. And there are some tools that our judges and that our courts need to have, and hopefully this is one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, good, good. All right. And, of course, we got the word on the hunting and fishing licenses going up.
Yeah, they're going to go up. I voted against that bill as it came back from the Senate. It's an interesting challenge, Duke, because you've got groups like Ducks Unlimited and a lot of the pro-hunting groups telling us, oh, our members want this, and then we get back to Allegan County and Ottawa County, and people are furious, and we say, well, are you a member of this group or that group? And they say, well, yeah. And I say, well, your membership organization said you wanted this. And now, there are some positives come out of this, again, and I voted against the bill as it came back from the Senate, there were, I think, over 100 different hunting and fishing licenses, and they've scaled them down, I think.
Yeah.
Now there's only 42. 100's an awful lot.
It is.
It seems like an awful lot to administer, and it just seems like state government gone awry. And I don't know if they had one for a particular time of day or for what fish you thought you were going to catch or that. What I do know, though, is that government could always be more simple, and I was glad to see this get a little more simplified. It still wouldn't bug me if it were probably even made more simple.
Yeah.
But they're going up, and I'll tell you who's really getting hit hard is the out-of-staters. Out-of-staters who will come and try and bag a second deer here in Michigan are going to be paying an awful lot more for that second tag than they were before. Two sides of that. Some people say, yeah, there are deer, and the out-of-staters should be paying more for that. And then others, maybe, you know, in the UP up over by Escanaba and such, the rep from up there was very concerned. He said, we get a lot of people from Wisconsin who come hunting. They stay at our hotels. They use our restaurants and stuff, and this might be the thing that chases them away. So, that's one that you just hope that we did the right thing in the end. Again,
yeah.
I voted against it. It seemed like an awfully big increase, and whenever the departments come to us, and this happens with every department, whether it's, you know, MDOT or Secretary of State or DNR, whenever they come to us and ask for a fee increase, they always say, well, we haven't had an increase in 20 years. We haven't had it in 20 years. So, either they're you know, using patchwork paper in the office to try and write memos and stuff and can't pay for that, or really costs have gotten out of control over that 20 years. I don't know. I'm always speculative, and I'm of the belief, boy, if they've gone 20 years without an increase, maybe we can go one more year without an increase. You know, people are still struggling. There's still, you know,
absolutely
not a lot of money out there, and boy, hunting sure is a good refuge and respite, and fishing as well, and I would hate to see us deny that opportunity for those people who really want to be able to do it.
I wish you had more control over the gas prices.
I know, you know, I heard that lady call in, and she calls in quite a bit, and I wish I had more control, too. And again, we remember just a couple of weeks ago, last time I was on, we talked about the Attorney General's anti-gouging unit. I'm sure it's got a better name than that, but we talked about that process. I would encourage people who really think that they're being gouged to contact that Consumer Protection Division of the Attorney General's office. And they are pretty tough. When somebody gets nailed with a fine on that, it gets in the newspapers. Everybody's aware of it.
Yeah.
And that station and station owner are I don't want to say they're blacklisted, but everybody's aware that they were caught gouging.
That's right. Everybody knows about it. And, well, I'm not going there.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you don't even want to be the potential victim in the future. So, yeah, again, if people see that going on and they're sure that they've been the victim of gouging, I would encourage them to call the Consumer Protection Division at the Attorney General's office, and I'm sure that they will look into that.
We're here with Representative Bob Janetsky, and we'll take a moment out for a word and be right back.
So, when the need arises, please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning, Bob. Hey, Bob, I heard your comments about the people up in the UP, the hotel owners and things like that, worried about people from Wisconsin and other places coming across to hunt because the fees have gone up, and, they might lose some business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, if you ever get a chance to talk with these business owners again, maybe you could ask them why are they not bringing better deals to the people that live right here within our own state to bring them up to the UP to come and hunt. We don't get much advertising. You have to basically dig for it and hunt for it as you would hunt. You know, you'd have to really look around and almost beg to get a good deal at some of the places up in the UP.
As far as like hotels or restaurants or things?
And yeah. And they're not giving us any better of a deal that they would, you know, they're giving better deals to the people across the state. I'm a hunter. I'm a fisherman.
Good.
I also bring this to youth in a program I have.
Oh, bless you. Appreciate that.
But the thing is, we are not getting any better deals, and we should be getting a better deal as people here in our own state.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine all the people from here that never been to the UP. You know, the tourism from our own state could double. So, you know, remind them, there's people here that would like to visit, but we can't afford to go up there.
Yeah, well, first of all, great point. Appreciate that. And secondly, I wonder if maybe these fee increases will be something that has those business owners in the UP doing a little more marketing to in-staters. If they're going to lose the business from out of state, hopefully they will turn around and look south and see what they need to do to invite us up. Now I think both the next caveat is both you and I know is the price of gas is probably something that's going to factor into that. And I think the years in which gas is down, you probably find a lot more people traveling further and further to be willing to hunt. And then the years that it's up, I think they have to stay closer to home.
Right. But, you know, they can give us a gas incentive to come up to their hotel or to the restaurant. You know, if we're from in-state, they can work out all kind of business deals for us. And we would be more than happy to tell our friends, and some of the hunting and fishing clubs around here could, you know, pass the word to membership and, you know, promote them and everything and work out some club deals. You know, it's all here to work together.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that very much.
But if they're not bringing it to us, we can't help each other. So
no,
thank you very much.
Hey, good point.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you for what you do with youth hunting and fishing. I appreciate that. And I will.
Well, thank you.
And I will mention that to the rep from the UP who brought up that argument.
Good morning. You're on the line with our guest. Hello. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, I would like to ask if the City Council of Holland passed an ordinance, would the mayor have the right to implement portions of the ordinance and disregard portions of the ordinance?
Well, first of all, I'll say that my expertise is not to a city council. I think Juke probably has more experience there. Just an initial answer on the surface, I don't believe that that's the case. I think if a city council passes an ordinance, the entire ordinance needs to be put into place. Again, that's with the limited knowledge that I have of how city councils get to implement ordinances.
Okay, now take that to Obamacare. If the Congress passes a law, can parts of it be implemented and parts of it not be implemented? What is the legality of that?
I believe the legality is no, the law has to be implemented as written, complete with the rollout dates and things like that.
So should our Secretary of State take a lawsuit up against the government because this law isn't being enacted across the board for everybody and it's being piecemeal here and there? That's not legal.
In my opinion, it's not legal in the least, and I believe the Attorney General is a part of a lawsuit that a lot of other states' attorneys general are part of. But whether or not they've taken up the individual pieces as for implementation, I'm unaware as yet.
Yeah, because I never knew a law could be either partly implemented or, go like that. It has to be either fully implemented or be thrown out. It's not...
Or repealed.
Just
yeah.
Choose which part of the law you want to implement.
No, I agree 100%, and it is these are very frightening days in which we live where people can arbitrarily apply certain laws and not others.
So what can be done as citizens that we need to do to say, hey, either this thing has to be implemented across the board or it needs to be thrown out?
Yeah, first thing is make sure you contact your own congressman and then your two U.S. senators who have been rather silent on the issue. And I'll tell you, that's been one of the more disappointing aspects of this. In years past, regardless of who was in power in the White House, Congress was very cognizant of their own power as the legislative branch of government. And regardless of which party was in the White House, Congress stood up and said, no, these are our powers reserved for us. We get to pass laws. You have to enforce them. And unfortunately, Congress, regardless of who's in the White House now, seems to just go along with whatever party is in power, and that's disappointing because they used to have more pride than that.
Well, I was just wondering why, how this can be that, certain, you can just pick and choose what parts of a law you want to implement. And
yeah, that's not at all what the Founding Fathers intended, and it's very, very concerning to see. It could set a precedent for years to come that would create great inequalities. I'm also not familiar with any law that would say it applies to these people but not those. You have to buy health care, but you get an exemption.
Right.
So what legality, can be done? What legally should U.S. citizens be doing?
Write to your senators, for one thing, I think, and let them know that you are very unhappy with the fact that they're getting the waiver and we are not.
Well, I'm not just talking to senators and the congressmen with their health care. I'm just talking to even parts of the bill they pick and choose.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This is going to be implemented, this is not going to be implemented, and stuff like that. They struck down the line item veto for Reagan because it was unconstitutional for him to strike out parts of the law. And here we got sort of the line item veto on Obamacare, where we don't want this part of the law, and we want this part of the law, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's a brilliant analogy. I thought, though, the line item veto was more for budgeting purposes that it was being used, but I think it's a great analogy you've created. And
well, a budget is a bill passed by Congress.
Yeah.
And so this is a health care bill, a health budget, you want to say, for the nation. And the president doesn't have a line item veto on what he wants to implement and what he doesn't want to implement.
You are correct. It's almost as if he's reversed the line item veto and applied the parts that he wants and not applied the parts that he doesn't. And, as we've said, let your U.S. senators and your congresspeople know. Two, I would encourage you to contact the state attorney general and let him to continue the fight, because I know he gets a lot of criticism for continuing the fight, because that does take money and resources and things of that nature. So I would make sure that you let him know that you expect him to continue to defend the Constitution.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, you're online with our guest. Good morning, you're online with our guest.
Mr. Janetsky, this is kind of on the lines of the last caller, but it is another federal issue that's going to affect our state. And knowing that you're primarily concentrating on the state, of course, here is the problem. The EPA is going to invoke some ridiculous and draconian new regulations on the coal industry.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're going to put the coal industry out of business, and they're going to put our coal-fired power plants out of business. Now, what in the world is going to happen here in Michigan when our power plants, which use coal, have to shut down? and our railroads, which haul coal all across the state, have to shut down. That's going to affect the Michigan economy greatly. And now what in the world can you do on a state level to kind of throw a message at the federal government that, what, are you guys nuts?
I appreciate it. We already have drafted resolutions, so as a state legislature, we can, you know, basically send a resolution to Congress asking them to rein in the EPA. But the president has been very brazen about this. He just doesn't seem to care what sort of economic catastrophe could come from very stringent and restrictive energy policy. Keep in mind, right now, those people down in West Virginia have it tough enough as it is, and the people in eastern Kentucky who harvest the coal are you know, struggling to find work as the EPA squeezes and squeezes them. So we've drafted some resolutions. We know it's going to cost jobs not just in Michigan but elsewhere. But we also need the average voter to rise up next year and make it very clear that we're not stupid. We're aware of the results that these stringent regulations are going to have. They're going to shut down coal plants. They're going to increase the cost of energy for everybody. And beyond that, I don't want to say we're powerless, but we need to keep writing letters to the editor. And again, make your U.S. senators accountable. If they don't see the connection between the more stringent EPA regulations, of which Congress doesn't even get a vote, then they need to step aside and let somebody else serve who's aware of how this is going to affect the average Michigander.
Well, I can assure everybody that our two state senators, Stabenow and Levin, are goose-stepping right in line with the president's orders, and they're all in favor of it. And, of course, Mr. Levin, what does he care? He's done.
Yeah, he's done.
We've got to make sure that the person that replaces him is someone who will not be insane. And, you know, another problem that's going to be related to this, how are people on fixed incomes, and I'm talking seniors on Social mm-hmm. Security and mm-hmm. people on disability, how are they going to pay for these huge increases in electricity rates that are going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you my personal belief, this current administration in D.C. loves subsidies, and I think you're going to see deficit spending to send more subsidies to create more people dependent after these terrible regulations have come down, basically squeezing our ability to create energy as we wish and as we can do. I think you're going to see another slew of requests for subsidies out of this administration to help pay for the increased energy costs, thereby throwing us further into debt as a nation. Now, that's just a guess. That's my personal belief, but they certainly do love subsidies and creating dependency.
So we're going to double down on stupid, basically.
Well, that's only my guess. Perhaps the president's got something magical up his sleeve and I'm wrong.
Yeah, something magical. Windows, unicorns, glitter, rainbows,
yes.
That's how we'll power our homes.
I pray not. I am with you. I am just as concerned. And boy, you know, God gave the Arabs oil. He gave us coal. We need to be able to use it.
You bet.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Here's a look at our weather. The weather is brought to you by our friends at Kia of Holland. That's hollandkia.com. And the weather today, showers and thunderstorms with a high of 73. Tonight, showers ending but a low of 57. And tomorrow, a few clouds with a high of 63. And right now, we're looking at 69 degrees here in the Tulip City. And speaking of miracles, I talked to my son last night down in Arizona, and he said they've had rain for about 5 days running, he says, and they've got corn growing in their yard from the corn they feed the birds. So
neat.
That is a miracle.
That is a miracle. I pray they're not getting hit as hard as Boulder is, though.
No, they're not.
And wash the corn away real quick.
Yeah, it would. It would. But he says he's never seen that before.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. That's neat.
Okay. Things are going on and on at the state issue, on the state level. And we also have the core that we're talking about that's going to go breeze through.
Yeah, excited. It's headed to the Senate. It passed the House unanimously.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see if I have a call here. Yes, I do. Good morning. You're on with our guest.
Yeah, I just heard him say that God gave the Arabs oil and America coal. We got more oil than Saudi Arabia's got.
That's right, we do.
But we need to be able to harvest that, too.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Obamacare. I mean, what Obama's doing to this country. It's just absolutely terrible. And our senators don't, I think they're all scared of them. And I don't know what's going to happen to us American people. It's just going to turn into one terrible America one of these days.
Well, I pray it doesn't. And as far as our senators, I don't want to say they're stupid. I think they believe the same philosophy the president does, that you know, that government can't be big enough and government can't do too much.
But the Democrats got all of you Republicans scared to death. I mean, the Republicans don't dare to stand up for their rights, and they're worried about their jobs. The Democrats are saying that it's going to all go back on the Republicans, and we're going to take over the country. And that Carl Levin and that Debbie Stabenow, she was on the TV last night talking about the farmers. She ain't got no use for them more than use for the farmers and the worms do. It's just terrible how this country is going. I know you don't have anything to do with it, Bob, but it's the Democrats that's ruining this country.
Well, I'll tell you, I think we all have some accountability. I'll tell you, when I first ran, it was rough to find anybody at some of our local township and school board meetings. Now, that's gotten a lot better. In the last couple of years, you find a lot more people showing up, paying attention, keeping an eye on their government. And if you can imagine, if we'd all been doing that for the last 30 years, paying attention and holding them accountable, I'll tell you, the number of people that call my office and say, hey, why did you vote on that bill this way or that way? Yeah, I find it refreshing, even if they're mad or whatever, because it means they're paying attention.
Well, that's true. That's right. All right, Bob.
Hey, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. How about the Corps? As a teacher, what do you think of that?
Of the core, Common Core standards.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've got some concerns about anything that initiates from Washington, D.C. First of all, I have a lot of faith in Michigan, Duke. I think our standards educationally are pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a lot of really strong teachers, and I think we've got a lot of parents who demand a strong curriculum and high standards. My concern with this is once we sign on and take the Common Core standards, we basically sign things over to the federal government or to National Governors Association or whomever.
Department of Education, I suppose.
Yeah, and then we lose control of that. My personal preference is that we look at the Common Core standards and we let our teachers and our local experts say, these are the standards that are good, these we don't agree with, and we're going to take them. Personally, I did look through all of the K-12 language arts standards. I'm a little concerned. They want first graders to be able to use commas. That seems rather early for me to be introducing commas at first grade, especially since they don't introduce the parts of speech until third grade. How do you know when to use a comma if you don't know if you're offsetting a noun from a noun from a pronoun or whatever? So I've got some concerns with them. And more importantly than that is the Smarter Balance Assessment, which is the testing that will come on down the line. Some estimates say it's going to cost us as a state over $300 million for us to get the entire state wired up for the Smarter Balance Assessment. And a lot of people are concerned for a lot of the personal information that is given up on individual students to this giant database in D.C. or Virginia or wherever. So that's a concern for me as well. And then as far as the testing with the Smarter Balance Assessment, when you and I took the ACT or whatever, or the Iowa Basic Skills Test or something like that, it's a Scantron test. We're able to write a little question mark and come back to the question. With the Smarter Balance Assessment, that's done online. A kid answers a question. If he or she gets it right, then they get a tougher question. They get it wrong, they get an easier question, and on and on and on and on. Well, it's possible for kids to get caught in a real bad loop there where finally they just get tired of it. They don't get to go back and answer the question that they had a question on.
Oh, we're out of time, Bob.
Well,
thanks so much.
All right.